May I invite you to open up God's Word with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 7 today. Continuing on in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we're in chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Don't get too comfortable. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. But what a privilege it is to read the words of our Savior. What a privilege it is to proclaim the truths of God's Word together this morning, a reminder that we're hearing from the Lord, a reminder that we're coming to hear the words of Christ, and we're praying, as we've just sung, to see Christ, to see the glory of Christ, and to be changed by the presence and the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And so as you find your place there in the Bible, Matthew chapter 7, let me invite you to join me standing for the reading of these words of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Jesus said, He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Would you pause with me for prayer? And Father, we pray that you would instruct us now by the presence and guidance of your Spirit, through the words of Christ, for the glory of Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we looked at the words, the couple verses just prior to these, and we heard about the narrow gate. The narrow gate, seeing that the way to heaven is as narrow as Jesus. Jesus is the gate through which we must enter, through which all must enter to enter the kingdom of heaven. But now the same Jesus warns us. He warns us that there are those who appear and claim to be part of God's kingdom, but whose teaching and living encourages their listeners to go down a different path other than the narrow path and through the narrow gate. Ever been on a road? Maybe you ever turned on a particular road thinking that you're on the right path, only later to realize that you were on the wrong path leading to a different destination. Well, these folks that Jesus warns about here, they are inviting folks to go down a particular path, and it appears to be and to sound like the narrow road, the right road leading to life, the Jesus way. But according to Jesus, it's actually the broad road leading to destruction. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, agents of the evil one aiming to deceive and to destroy believers. Friends, false teachers threaten to deceive us. Jesus warns us, false teachers threaten to deceive us. That's the warning here. There are those who appear to be on Christ's team in and among His people, twisting the truth in order to gain for themselves, and Jesus calls them false prophets. Ever seen two sports teams playing each other that look like they were wearing the same jersey because they were wearing a very similar color? It's tough to distinguish between the two teams. I witnessed this last weekend. I think it was a T-ball game. I'm not sure. I think perhaps it was the Orioles playing the Astros, and both wearing orange. I saw it from a distance and noticed, wow, I'm not sure who's on which team. Well, these prophets, these false teachers, appear to be on the right team, but they're actually not on Christ's team. In the Bible, prophets are those who speak for God, who declare what God says. And so a false prophet is one who falsely claims to speak for God and, in fact, deceives folks instead. Late James Montgomery Boyce said, according to Jesus, the danger is not so much the fact that there are going to be wolves in the world. Certainly there are wolves in the world. But that there are going to be wolves who have disguised themselves as sheep In other words, the danger lies in the fact that there are going to be agents of the devil in the church. Jesus says quite clearly, watch out. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Be warned. Watch out. Be on your guard, he says, for false prophets threaten to deceive you. They twist, they distort, they minimize God's word, perhaps by ignoring the need for repentance or downplaying looming destruction. They tell people what they want to hear in order to gain a following. See an example of this in the Lord's words to Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah chapter 6. The Lord is critiquing and criticizing the priests and the prophets who are not rightly representing him. And he says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say. When there is no peace. A couple days ago, my kids were playing outside and suddenly I heard crying and my youngest Eli, my 5-year-old, came running in the house just sobbing, crying, worried, hysterically. And I looked down and there's a little bit of blood on his knee. He's fallen on the concrete and scraped his knee. And I was in the middle of something. And so I just sort of said, hey, Eli, everything's fine. You're going to be okay. Before really assessing the gravity of the situation. And thank the Lord, everything was okay. But that's essentially what the prophets here were doing. They were not only seeking to downplay the pending judgment of God, but saying, hey, it's all okay. Peace, peace. There's no peace. You're fine. You don't need to repent and turn to the Lord. Paul knew that false prophets would infiltrate the church in his own day. Listen to what Paul says to the elders or the leaders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. He says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Same imagery that Jesus uses to portray the danger of wolves in sheep's clothing. Of course, sheep is what Jesus calls his people. We are the sheep. Believers are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. We are his sheep. But sheep are susceptible to attack. And there's an enemy who aims to permeate the flock in order to kill and steal and to destroy vulnerable sheep. And just like he did in the garden, the devil comes subtly, deceptively luring folks down the wrong path, pretending to be something that he's not. Just before warning about the wolves, Paul tells the Ephesian elders, he says, keep watch over yourselves. Sounds like what Jesus said. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Heard me say it before. You'll probably hear me say it again, but here's a benefit, a clear benefit in the scriptures to elder model of church leadership with multiple spiritual leaders charged with guarding the flock against doctrinal error. Praise the Lord. We have many folks in the church that know the word and love the Lord and would speak up if they sense false teaching in the church. I have no doubt. But a group of folks that are charged particularly because of their responsibility with being on the lookout for that. It's part of a pastor's role and responsibility. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Paul says, savage wolves will come in and distort the truth. So be on guard. Be on guard. False teachers threaten to deceive us. And here's how you can recognize them. Jesus says, they fail to produce fruits of righteousness. False teachers threaten to deceive us. But they fail to produce fruits of righteousness. Now, here's the crux, I think, of what Jesus is saying in this text. False teachers do not produce the righteousness or the right living taught by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. That's what he means by fruit. Saying about this a few moments ago. Plant your word down deep in us. Cause it to bear fruit. Our passage this morning is bracketed by a phrase, this phrase in verses 16 and verse 20. By their fruit, you will recognize them. It's repeated for emphasis, driving home the principle, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Verse 16, again in verse 20, thus by their fruit, you will recognize them. In both places, that phrase, by their fruit, is in an emphatic position. It's at the beginning of the sentence, literally reading, from the fruits of them, from the fruit of their life, you'll recognize them, suggesting any other means of evaluating a prophet might lead to faulty conclusions. By the fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus uses this word fruit 7 times in these 6 verses. What does he mean by it? He's referring to the moral character of a person. Jesus is contrasting good fruits with evil fruits, meaning fruits of righteousness with fruits of unrighteousness. In other words, just as a grapevine produces grapes and a fig tree grows figs, so different kinds of behavior reveal the identity of the one doing them. A thorn bush won't produce grapes, nor will a false prophet produce lasting good works. Right here on the cusp of springtime and seasons changing, we've had some warm spring-like days. Many trees are budding and blooming, and grasses are greening. I don't know about you, but I've even looked around in my own yard looking for signs of life. I got a bit invested here because in the fall, Ashley and I planted a number of perennial shrubs that were to come back. And you may recall right there around Christmas, we had some crazy cold days in Alabama, like 9 and 10 degrees and not getting above freezing. And so a few plants, I noticed I got some geraniums that looked like they were shot with a gallon of Roundup, and I'm not sure what's going to come of them. And so I'm looking for signs of life. Life that reveal things are right and okay. And likewise, Jesus says that those who represent him are going to have signs of life. Signs of living lives that represent life in his kingdom. See, false teachers fail to produce fruits of righteousness. Certainly we've all heard the saying, how do you know if you're a leader? You look behind you and see if anybody's following you, right? But not every leader's a good leader. Not every leader's a faithful leader. Beware of equating fruit to the number of people following. Hitler had a lot of folks following him. David Koresh had many folks following him. We could list a number of others. I don't think followers is the kind of fruit that Jesus has in mind here, for he's implying a kind of character transformation that's evidence that you belong to Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace alone, right? Grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, but good works follow faith in Christ alone. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ produces a transformed life in time. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved to good works. And it's the Holy Spirit that begins this process of sanctification by regenerating our hearts, giving us new hearts. We call this being born again. Jesus said, you must be born again, new life. And the moment that we trust in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for our salvation, God declares us holy. He declares us righteous in his sight. Jesus' righteousness is reckoned or credited to our account. We call that imputed righteousness. That's really good news. We don't gain entrance into heaven based on our merits or our earned righteousness, but we're allowed entrance into the kingdom of heaven based on the righteousness, the right living the holiness of Jesus that is credited to our account through repentance and faith in Him. But we don't just automatically start living perfectly holy lives at that point. We don't live lives of sinlessness and moral perfection as soon as we come to faith in Christ. We sang a hymn this morning, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," written by Martin Luther, reformer, German reformer. And Martin Luther described this phenomenon as simul justus et peccator. Pardon my Latin there. I'm not a Latin expert, but here's what that means. Simultaneously, justus, justified, declared righteous, and still a sinner. At the same time, saved, and yet still a sinner. Forgiven, declared righteous, yet still wrestling with a life of unrighteousness. Declared righteous in God's sight, yet still inclined to sin. So we're not talking about perfect righteousness. That's not what Jesus means here by fruit. I don't think Jesus is saying if your Sunday school teacher sins, you should renounce him as a false prophet for bearing bad fruit. That's not what he's saying here. No, we're talking about, not talking about sinlessness, but about growth in Christ-likeness. Becoming more like the Christ who saved us so that we begin again to reflect the image and the character of God in us. Bible says it this way. Paul would say it this way in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." To be conformed, to be molded, to be shaped to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Similarly, Paul would contrast the old self, which is dead in sin, with the new self being born again in Colossians, saying in Colossians chapter 3, "Do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with this practice." Don't lie, because that's part of the old way of living apart from Christ. Don't do that. You've put on the new self, which is what? Which is being renewed. It's being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. In other words, the saved undergo an identity transformation that begins the process of sanctification, of being renewed, of being transformed, of being changed, so that we begin to despise our sin and live for our Savior. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the demonstrated righteousness that Jesus has been teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. That's the fruit that will accompany faithful teachers, and that's the fruit that will be absent in the lives of false teachers. And so when it comes to evaluating, those who teach and preach the word of the Lord, consider content and character. Consider both content and character. We ought to be evaluating. We dealt with Jesus's words a few verses earlier, several weeks ago, about do not judge and what that means. It doesn't mean that anything goes. It doesn't mean that we don't carefully evaluate what it is that we're hearing to see whether or not it's consistent with the word of the Lord. We're called to carefully hear the message and ensure that it faithfully represents the Scripture, that it rightly divides the word of truth, that it accurately conveys the gospel of grace. We're to consider content. This is what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, warning about false teachers as well. He says, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." In other words, friends, truth matters. Content matters. Consider content. Charisma in the pulpit, skill in the classroom is not enough. Consider content. But also consider character. Character counts. This is why the New Testament lists qualifications for pastors and qualifications for deacons that are chock full of character traits. Character traits that are the fruits of righteousness, revealing that you belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, that's what you're looking for. Watch out for those who may look sharp, talk a good game, those who appear to speak on my account, yet whose lives are marked by filth, by greed, by immorality, by self-promotion or self-righteousness. What does this look like when it comes to evaluating those that we're listening to? Well, watch out for signs of greed. Signs saying things like, what the Lord has told me that you need to give to me in my ministry again and again. Look out for signs of self-promotion rather than the exaltation of Christ in our teaching, in our gatherings. May Christ be glorified. May it not be about anyone else and what they've done or accomplished, but may it be about Jesus Christ. May He be glorified. May it not be self-glorification, but God's glorification. Jesus has already warned us. He said, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. These are the teachers, the experts. Unless your righteousness surpasses theirs, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus was bold. Jesus is clear. Kingdom righteousness is a matter of the heart. And eventually what's in the heart is gonna overflow. God looks at the heart. And friend, when He looks at your heart, what does He see? Does He see a life surrendered to Him, longing for His glory? Or a life seeking self-glory? Church, everyone, including those who claim to represent the Lord, everyone who lives for self-glory rather than God's glory will soon face forever without the God of glory. False teachers threaten to deceive us. They fail to produce fruits of righteousness and will soon face divine judgment. Jesus is clear on this. Though we may be fooled, God sees our hearts. Soon what's hidden is going to come to light. Deeds of darkness will be exposed. False prophets pursuing personal gain won't deceive forever. The truth will ultimately prevail. For every tree that does not bear good fruit, Jesus says, is cut down and thrown into the fire. A little over a week ago, we had some strong winds come through. We had a big dead pine tree come down in our backyard. It came down in a good place to come down, but been dead for a little while, and some of those pieces broke up. And so several days ago, I gathered some of those large pieces of dead pine and burned them in a fire pit. And ooh, did they burn good. It lit up. Didn't take them long either to burn up. Burned up. Not good for anything else. Jesus says those who fail to represent Him rightly, those who misrepresent Him, those ferocious wolves will eventually face divine judgment, cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the image that He uses. An echo of John the Baptist preaching in Matthew chapter 3, directed at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. John the Baptist came saying, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Friends, although there may be many imposters over the years, various places in Christ Church, wolves in sheep's clothing, there will be no imposters in heaven. No imposters in the eternal kingdom of God. Only those whose hearts and lives revealed, they know the King of glory. And they've surrendered to the King of glory. Only those who know and serve the Savior of the world, only those who've been rescued by God's grace and born again by God's Spirit and now being conformed into the image of God's Son. Friend, will you be there? Will you be there? Have you surrendered to the Savior? Has your heart been softened to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you heard the gospel and responded with surrender? Repentance and faith in Jesus. Have you been born again? Is your faith in Christ? Have you surrendered your heart to the King of heaven? Oh, friends, surrender your heart to Him today. Surrender your heart to Jesus, the giver of life, of eternal life today. Acknowledge your sin before a perfect and holy and just God and express your faith in Jesus, the one who lived a righteous life, a perfect life, a holy life on your account and mine so that ultimately He could lay His life down in our place, taking what we deserve and only giving us what He deserves, crediting His righteousness to us that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God forever. Put your faith in Him. And then, church, as we wait on the return of our Savior, as we proclaim the gospel, as we wait for His arrival once again, His second coming, as we encounter false teaching and teachers, as we will, may we pray God's Spirit would protect and sanctify His church. Pray God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would protect and sanctify His church so that, yes, we recognize and renounce false teachers, guarding the flock from their ferocious attacks, but even more so that we bear good fruit in our lives, so that we bear good fruit in our lives that testifies to the grace of Jesus Christ. So may the Spirit of Christ regenerate hearts in this place. May He regenerate hearts here and stir the people of this place. May He stir us today and every week. May continually stir us to growth in Christ's likeness, producing good fruit for the glory of His name. Would you pray with me, oh God? Would you do just that? God, would you protect us from the attacks of the enemy? Or would you give us wisdom to recognize false teaching when we hear it, when we see it? God, would you give us faithful measurement according to your word and wisdom of your Son Jesus, who is our Savior? God, would you set us apart that we might grow in Christ's likeness, Lord, that we might grow in character in a way that represents more and more from week to week and month to month and year to year, more and more the image of your perfect Son Jesus, who is our Savior. Oh God, lead us to rest in you and to follow after you and to run to you. Lord, lead us to proclaim the riches of your grace. Lord, lead us to delight in you. And it's in Christ, our Lord, that we pray. Amen.